Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
I'm a pediatrician. Here's what I did when a little boy patient said he was a girl. That's an article headline by Dr. Michelle Critella. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Dr. Critella is a medical doctor. She is the executive director of the American College of Pediatricians, a national organization of pediatricians and other healthcare professionals dedicated to the health and well-being of children. Now, she starts off her article, Holly, by saying, "Congratulations, it's a boy," or "Congratulations, it's a girl." She says, "As a pediatrician for nearly 20 years, that's how many of my patient relationships begin. Our bodies are indicated of our sex." And she says, you know, biological sex is not a sign. Sex is determined at conception by our DNA and is stamped into every cell of our bodies. Human sexuality, she goes on to say, is binary. You either have a normal Y chromosome and develop into a male, or you don't, and you will develop into a female. She says there are at least 6,500 genetic differences between men and women. Hormones and surgery, she says, cannot change.
I think you should repeat that.
Yeah, 6,500 genetic differences between men and women. You know, the idea that I was assigned at birth. No, you weren't assigned. No human being assigned you, whether you're male or female. That was done at the moment of your creation, of your conception. At that moment, you were created male or female. And it is imprinted in every cell, as Dr. Critella says, of your DNA. 6,500 genetic differences occur or exist between men and women, male and female.
You know, of course, we know we are all created by God, and He is the one who's chosen our gender. But I like what she said. No one is born transgender. If gender identity were hardwired in the brain before birth, identical twins would have the same gender identity 100% of the time.
Yeah,
but they don't.
They don't. And she says identity is not biological. It is psychological. It has to do with thinking and feeling. Thoughts and feelings are not biologically hardwired. Our thinking and feeling may be factually right or factually wrong. And she said, now, if I were to walk into a doctor's office today and say, "Hi, I'm Margaret Thatcher," my physician would say, "I'm delusional," and give me an antipsychotic. Yet, if instead I walked in and said, "I'm a man," and she's speaking from herself, he would say, "Congratulations, you're transgender."
Boy, activists have really got us on the wrong track here.
if she goes on to say, if I were to say, "Doc, I'm suicidal because I'm an amputee trapped in a normal body, please cut off my leg. I will be diagnosed with body identity integrity disorder." But if I walk into that doctor's office and say, "I'm a man, sign me up for a double mastectomy," my physician will see, and you know, he will, may do it. And
see,
if I want to cut off my leg, I have a mental disorder, but if I want to cut off my breasts or other male organs, then you're transgender and it's okay and we'll just allow you to do it. The whole article is common sense.
Right.
But it's based in medicine and science. And, you know, you say, well, that's an extreme example. Somebody thinks they're an amputee trapped in a normal body. No, it's true. There is a group of people, and one of the terminologies given to it is apotemnophilia. That's somebody who believes that they are a disabled body inhabiting an able body. In other words, they believe in their mind that they have some disability, i.e., they should not have an arm, a leg. But in reality, they have an arm or a leg, but in their mind, they think that they should be an amputee. There's actually some cases. There are cases around the world. There are people today in this country. There are groups online that you can be a part of people who think exactly like that. There's one reported case in America. It's a case where someone had this disorder, and they considered themselves to be inhabiting an able body. They have all of their faculties, but they should be disabled. And so they went down to a place in New Mexico to get surgery to have a limb amputated. The person came back and ultimately developed, obviously, complications, and a lawsuit ultimately incurred over that. It's unbelievable that doctors would literally, and some doctors have done it, and they do, they amputate healthy arms or legs because in the person's mind, they think that they should not have the arm or leg. Now, the way you treat that is not by surgical intervention. You treat it through psychological counseling and intervention.
Dealing with the symptoms. And that's why we represent these counselors, trying to allow kids to get the help they need to deal with the root problem. What's really going on here? Is it something at home? Is there abuse? There's got to be a deep-rooted issue going on, and you don't go and cut your parts off thinking that's going to be the answer.
Yeah, and so she actually has illustrations in this article about people who come in like that, that have gender confusion, and they are a boy, and they're having confusion as to whether they're a girl. She says that one patient that she'll call Andy, he was between the ages of 3 and 5, mm-hmm. Increasingly played with girls and girl toys and said he was a girl. I referred the parents and Andy to a therapist. Sometimes mental illness, she says, of a parent or abuse of the child are factors. But more commonly, the child has misperceived family dynamics and internalized a false belief.
Bingo.
That's exactly what happened to Walt Heyer.
I was just thinking of Walt Heyer, yeah, our friend whose grandmother, I guess, dressed him up in little girl clothes.
Yeah, she wanted a girl, I guess, as a grandchild, and so she dressed him up. She thought it was really cute to dress him up in girl clothes. And then she told him that this should be their little secret. Don't tell mom and dad that when you come over, you dress in these girl clothes.
So, he was getting attention from her that way. So he fed on that,
yeah,
as a little boy.
He liked his grandma, and his grandma would give him more attention when he dressed like a girl.
Right.
So he had misperceived, internalized false beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so what he ended up doing is when the parents found out that this was what was happening, they banned him from visiting the grandma. Because he brought his little dress home, mm-hmm. and they found it in the closet or someplace in his bedroom. And they banned him from visiting grandma when they found out what grandma was doing. Well, also what happened later is he got sexually abused by an uncle. Mm-hmm. And all of this developed this confusion in his mind, so that he, being a man, eventually married, had family, and then decided with no counseling at all that would help him address the issues to then try to, quote, transition to be a woman, changing his name and going through surgery.
Still struggling with those thoughts and those feelings that he had back when he was a little boy.
And then what eventually happened is he gave his life to the Lord. It's a longer story, but it's an amazing story. His name is Walt Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R. Mm-hmm. And you can find him on the internet. He has a lot of resources. And he ends up going back to counseling, and he then changes his name back. He's now married, been married for a while, but he's got a ministry to help people just like what he went through.
Right, and he's written a book of all those people that have come out of that lifestyle, come to Jesus Christ as a result. Those kind of stories you don't hear in the media. He has a whole book full of them.
He has a whole book. So I would encourage you, if you know somebody who has a child, grandchild, a friend who's going through some of these questions, you can search for Walt Heyer on the internet, Walt, W-A-L-T, Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R. He has a couple of websites and a lot of resources, some books that are helpful, some of them that share stories of people that are just like him, or ultimately, fortunately, were able to talk with him before they went to the point of literally removing healthy body parts. So I would encourage you to learn more about it if you are encountering something like this, and go to Liberty Counsel's website. If you know of anybody who needs assistance, we're there to help. That's why we are defending these counselors, like Dr. Critella, but particularly others who actually do the counseling, to be able to give this kind of counsel to people who are struggling so that they can address the issues that will help them overcome these stresses in their lives. That's why it's so important that we take one of these cases to the Supreme Court and stop these counseling bans all over the country. Stand with us. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org. Hit the subscribe button at the top to subscribe to some of our emails, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.